بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I begin testifying that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salah and salam be upon the noble prophet and his household and the companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation on the book of Al-Qawl al-Mufid, Sharh Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed, chapter number 7. And we have reached now in our series on this discussion number 17. And I'm sorry, we are in chapter 6. The title of this chapter is Tafsir al-Tawheed wa shahadati an la ilaha illallah, the explanation of Tawheed and the testimony of La ilaha illallah. This morning we have covered three verses which the author cited, and then we continue now with the evidences which he cited. We go to verse number 4. The verse that he cited is اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله, in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 31. قال الله عز وجل concerning the Jews and the Christians, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. The author is explaining that the Tawheed requires two things: negation and affirmation. Negation of what is worshipped, the worship of those other than Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah. This needs to be negated, and the affirmation that there is no true God except Allah. This is page number 151, volume 1, in the Arabic. Original Arabic is volume 1, page 151. So the author cited some verses, and from this is this verse, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. The Jews and the Christians took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah. How? By obeying them in things which they made lawful or unlawful according to their own desires without being ordered by Allah. And they also took as their Lord the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. While they, the Jews and the Christians, are commanded in their books to worship none but Allah, praise be to him, far above is he from having any partners they associate with him. So they took their monks and their rabbis as lords besides Allah. This, and also the Masih, Isa, Jesus, son of Mary, they took him as Lord. How did they take him as Lord? When they said إِنَّهُ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ, that he is one of three. When they said that he is one of three, they took him as Lord besides Allah. Yet they were, meaning the rabbis, the Jews and the Christians and their followers, were ordered to worship none but Allah. The one who created them, the one who created Jesus, the one who created their followers, etc. Then in this verse Allah said سُبْحَانَهُ. Subhanahu. What does this mean here? It means تَنْزِيهُ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, glorifying Allah as being far above what they attribute to him, what they ascribe to him in worship. Now, how this ayah is explaining Tawheed? How does it explain Tawheed? It is because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denied upon them taking their monks and their rabbis as lords besides Allah. So they took them as partners, shuraka lillah, in their obedience of them when they made the lawful unlawful, and they went with them accordingly. So therefore, from the explanation of Tawheed, that one's obedience must be solely for Allah. And there will be further explanation on this verse, because again, listen carefully please, this verse has been taken as evidence by some takfiris. Listen, this verse has been taken as evidence by some takfiris, and this is my comment on this now, because they said obeying the rulers who don't rule by the rule of Allah constitutes shirk of obedience, and therefore anyone who works for such governments is a mushrik, and consequently he can be taken out. And as will come later, this verse Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah explained it greatly, and the explanation of our Shaykh will come also at a later stage. The obedience to these rabbis and these lords is explained in one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked by one of the companions, how did they worship them, O Messenger of Allah? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, didn't they make them the halal haram and the haram halal, and they went accordingly according to their tahleel and their tahreem, meaning their lords and rabbis said this is halal, this is haram, and they went with them with their conviction that this is halal and this is haram, and this constitutes the shirk of obedience, while knowing the opposite, that what they are doing is wrong. However, Shaykh al-Islam distinguishes the other type of obedience which does not take the person out of the fold of Islam, when he said if they obeyed them because on due to desire, to lowly desire, not on conviction that the halal is haram and the haram is halal, but for lowly desire, then he said this is from the sins that does not take them out of Islam. But you see, with the takfiris, they took the general meaning without making the details regarding this verse, and they concluded that everyone who obeys the ruler who does not rule by the rule of Allah, then he falls into this category of being a mushrik by obedience. Allah al-Musta'an. This is written in their books, in the circulations they circulate. And more of this explanation inshallah will come later, but I just wanted to hint to this, because the Shaykh himself here mentioned that there will be an explanation on this that will come later. But the point here inshallah ta'ala is that such obedience, the obedience to the people who, to leaders and such, is to be detailed as was detailed earlier. Some of the obedience can take the person out of the fold of Islam, and another obedience is of the lesser type that does not take him out of the fold of Islam. Then the author rahimahullah cited another verse, the verse number 5. In explaining the meaning of Tawheed, he cited the following verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 165. قال الله تعالى وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love Allah. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. This verse, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, meaning some of mankind. who take and set for worship others besides Allah. Make them co-equal, rivals. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished the person who said to him, who told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he told him, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ, whatever Allah willed and whatever you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wills. The Prophet ﷺ admonished him. He told him, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدَّةً? Did you set me as rival besides Allah? And then he corrected him and he said, بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ, rather, only that which Allah wills. Then in this verse, Allah says, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, they love them as they love Allah. They love their rivals. The people of Tafsir differed as to the meaning they love them as they love Allah. They differed as to the term as they love Allah. Some of the people of Tafsir said, Alaykum As-Salaam wa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala wa Barakatuh. Some of them said that they made their love, the love of their statues, idols and so forth, equal to the love of Allah. So in their hearts there will be a mixture. Love of Allah and love of these idols. And they will make the love of Allah equal to the love of these idols, or the opposite. So they love the idols as they love of Allah, as they love Allah. This is one interpretation. And the other interpretation, that they love these idols, or these statues, or these images, strongly, like the love of the believers to Allah, of Allah. The flow of the verse supports the first interpretation. The flow of the verse supports the first interpretation, that they made their love equal to the love of Allah. Then the next part of the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, but those who believe love Allah more. Meaning, according to the first interpretation, now it would mean, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ, those who believe love Allah more than these mushriks. Because the love of the believers is pure. And the love of those mushriks is mixed with association. Associating their idols, their statues, whatever objects they worship. According to the second meaning, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا therefore أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ لِأَصْنَامِهِمْ, and those who believe, they love Allah more than these mushriks love their statues and idols. Why? Because the love of the believers is affirmed at times of ease and at times of hardship. However, with respect to the love of the mushriks to their idols, it diminishes at times of distress. It diminishes at the time of distress. Then what about a person who loves Allah, or who loves other than Allah more than he loves Allah? What about the person who loves other than Allah more than his love of Allah? And what about a person who loves others other than Allah and does not love Allah? This is even worse. And this exists among many who belong to Islam today. Because they love their so-called awliya, whom they call these are the righteous close to Allah, they love them more than they love Allah. And that's why if someone of them is told to swear by Allah, he may swear by Allah truthfully and falsely. However, when it comes to his wali, he wouldn't make an oath except a true one. If he is told to make an oath by his wali, he makes it truthfully. And you see many of them who come to Mecca and Medina, they consider visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be greater than visiting the sacred house of Allah in Mecca. Why? Because they find in themselves the love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam equal in degree to their love of Allah, or even greater. And this is shirk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we don't love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had it not been for the love of Allah, and had it not been for the fact that he is a messenger of Allah. We didn't love him because he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, but we loved him because he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّهُ بِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. We love him because of the love of Allah. However, these people makes their love of Allah next in rank to their love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is if we say that they love Allah in the first place. So this verse which we are discussing now is a great test to the hearts of many Muslims. Those who equate their love to other than Allah, they equate it to the love of Allah. And there is also another type of love. This love of this dunya, of this life, and its glitter, and its wealth, and the money, and the... There are people, if you search their hearts, you would find the hearts filled of the love of the enjoyment of this life and its glitter. You find those who come to the prayer place in the mosques. You find him making the salah, however his heart is busy in that which he loves from the matters of this life. This is a type of worship in reality. And if man examines himself why he was created, he would find that he was created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he was created for another abode, not this one. This one is only a passage leading to the other one, to the next life. The abode for which he is really created for, to work for it. Were there certain days where the person would think and give, contemplate as to what he had done and how much thinking, how much is left for him to live in this life? And what did he earn? The days go away. And the person may think that, did I really come closer to Allah, or am I far away from Him, increased to be away from Him? Can we check ourselves on this? Every sound person has an objective, has an aim. What is his objective? We seek the knowledge now as a means of nearness to Allah and to inform ourselves and to inform others. But when we earn a certain matter of knowledge, do we apply it? We found in ourselves. A great neglect and negligence and shortcomings. And do we, if we know of a certain matter, do we really inform others of it? All of this requires checking, and therefore there is a great responsibility on the seeker of knowledge. It's greater than the zakah of his wealth, what's the dutiable charity upon him, the student of knowledge or the seeker of knowledge must work and move and dissipate the ilm and awareness in the Muslim Ummah. Otherwise, the Ummah will deviate from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, كُلُّ الْأُمُورِ تَسِيرُ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ. All matters proceed with love. You don't move to do something except that you love it. Even the bite that you put, the bite of food, you don't eat it except that you love it. And that's why it is said that all movement is based upon love. And love is the foundation of action. And therefore, al-ishraku fil mahabba ishrakum billah, associating one in love, is associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this love is of three types. The first type, al-mahabbatu lillah, loving of Allah. This is the perfection of Tawheed. And this is the most trustworthy matters of faith, handhold, is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. And to love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you love this thing because Allah loves it, whether this is a person or an action. And this is from the perfection of Tawheed. There is a poet by the name of Majnun Layla. You know what's Majnun? Layla is a name for woman. And Majnun Layla. Someone's crazy about Layla, literally. He wrote the following poem. He said, أمر على الديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار وذا الجدار وما حب الديار شغفنا قلبي ولكن حب من سكن الديار. I pass by the hometown of Layla, kissing this wall and that wall. And it is not the love of the place which occupied my heart, but the love of the one who dwelled the place. The second type of love is the natural love. Which the person does not give it precedence over the love of Allah. This does not negate, is not in opposition to the love of Allah. Like loving the wife, loving the children, loving the wealth. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, who is most beloved to you from the people? He said, Aisha. Then he said, from the men, he said, her father. And from this is included, under this is the love of food, love of drinks, and love of clothes, and the like. The third type of love, loving others with Allah, which stands in opposition to the love of Allah. Meaning, loving other than Allah, like loving Allah, or more. In such a way, if this love opposes the love of Allah, then the person will give precedence to this love, meaning the love of other than Allah, over the love of Allah. So in this way, the person had set this love as rival. This object of love, this person had set it as rival with the love of Allah, making it equal or even more. So therefore, from this verse, verse number 5, which the author cited, we conclude from this verse that those who equated their love to other than Allah with that, with the love of Allah, Allah considered them mushriks, setting up rivals with Allah in worship. Therefore, in this conclusion, we come to the second part of this chapter, where the author cites the evidences from the Sunnah concerning the tafsir, the meaning of Tawheed, and the meaning of testimony of Tawheed. This we leave it, inshallah, for the next section. And we stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.